This program contains general information about legal matters and should not be used as an alternative to legal advice for your specific case. If you have any specific questions about any legal matter, you should consult Greg Leiter or other professional legal services providers. You should never delay seeking legal advice, disregard legal advice, or commence or discontinue any legal action because of information from this program. Welcome to Personal Injury Straight Talk on 1340 WJOL. Brought to you by Greg Leiter, lead attorney with Leiter Law Offices. And here's your host, legal expert and your legal advocate, Greg Leiter.
Good afternoon, Will County. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon, and happy Veterans Day to everyone and to the veterans listening out there. Thank you so much for your services. Both my grandparents served in the military, and trying to take some extra time today to think about everything that they've done for our country and for our freedom. So when you run into a veteran today on the street, make sure to stop and thank them for all they've done. I think it's inevitable. Everyone knows that the weather is changing. It's turning cold. I think later this week or weekend, it's expected to snow outside. And that usually means one thing for commuters, and that means an increase in the amount of motor vehicle accidents on the road. A couple things to keep in mind with the changing of the weather, the snow, the ice: slow down. Give yourself extra time to stop. I see a lot of motor vehicle accidents over the winter where a person rear-ends another person or slides across the road. And you hear the excuse, oh, it was an act of nature or an act of God. It wasn't my fault. And that excuse does not hold any water. When it is adverse out, you need to take the necessary precautions, slow down, leave yourself enough time to stop so that you don't slide, and anticipate the possibility that you may slide. When you're in court to make the argument that it was the ice or the snow that caused the accident, that's not going to fly. It's your actions. You're behind the wheel. You're responsible. When you're behind the vehicle, and make sure you leave yourself enough time. Another thing to watch out for as the snow comes and ice are slip and falls. I get a lot of calls where people are outside of different premises and they fall on a patch of ice, and they call and they ask whether or not they have a cause of action against the owner. And in Illinois, there is something called the natural versus unnatural accumulation of ice rule. And that means if the owner of the premises has done something affirmatively to contribute to the accumulation of snow or ice, and you fall, then you probably have a cause of action. However, the natural accumulation of ice, if you were to fall on that, you wouldn't have a cause of action. So instances where you're at a restaurant or a store and there's a drain from the roof that's dripping water onto the sidewalk and the water forms to ice and you slip and fall on that, I think you have a pretty good argument that that's an unnatural accumulation of ice, that that's a condition that that came about because of the owner or because of the construction, and you would have a cause of action in that situation. If you're out in the parking lot of a store and you happen to slip and fall on a patch of ice in the parking lot without evidence that the owner attempted to salt or took some affirmative duty or action to shovel or rectify the situation, you may have a hard time recovering, because that, again, is going to be considered a natural accumulation of ice. Now, if you're at a store, a restaurant, a premises, and it's snowing outside, and the owner or an employee is has taken some measures to shovel the snow, and you come in afterwards and you fall on the ice or you fall on the snow, then you would also have a potential cause of action, because in that situation, the store or restaurant undertook that duty to try to clear off the walkway and make it safe for you. And they have a responsibility then, if they affirmatively take that that conduct, to do so in a safe manner. So if you have a question about it, call any attorney. Call my office. Happy to talk to you about it. My office, 815-723-7600. The show, feel free to call in and share your thoughts, questions, 815-254-7300. But I know with the changing of the weather, we're going to have a number of slip and fall, and we're going to have accidents that are arguably caused from people not being careful in the conditions. So give us a call, 815-254-7300. Looks like we have Jessica on line one. How are you doing today, Jessica?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, about 2 months ago, I was involved in a car accident. I was driving, and then a guy, didn't stop on a stop sign, and he hit the back end of my car, and it spun, and it went into, the parking lot. It was really bad. I didn't pursue anything, because I felt bad, and I wasn't sure, what the outcome was. And I was going on a trip. One of my cousins had gotten married, so I had to leave the following week. Well, it's been 2 months, and I just have so much pain, in my upper neck. I don't know if I can do, anything about that.
Okay. Jessica, have you notified, first off, your insurance company of what happened?
Yeah. I mean, I was taken straight to the hospital because I was passed out, and so they took me there, and they did x-rays, on my chest and my head. But like I said, I had to, go out of the country because one of my cousins was getting married, and now it's been 2 months later, and I still have, stiffness and, just pain in my upper neck.
Okay.
And I don't know if I can do anything about that. I mean, I haven't notified my insurance company, after the fact, but...
Sure. Sure, and I'm sorry, when did you say the accident took place, Jessica?
Almost 2 months ago.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not a lot of time. You went to the emergency room, which was the appropriate thing to do. Do you have a primary care physician?
Yes.
Okay. It may be wise to give your doctor a call and go in there and get checked out, and maybe it's appropriate for him then to refer you to either an orthopedic doctor if you're still having, neck or back pain. They can refer you to the appropriate specialist, or they can take over your care from there. But, 2 months, after an accident isn't, an unreasonably long time to seek treatment. So, and I'll address it a little bit more. Did that answer your question, Jessica?
Yeah, it did. Would I have to see? But that's another thing is that would I have to then pay out of pocket for everything? And that's what was really my concern.
Okay, and I'm going to give you the number. I'd be happy to talk to you more about this and try to guide you, off air at 815-723-7600. But did you have health insurance?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you're in a good position. There's no reason why you can't get the medical treatment. You can use your health insurance, and then should you decide to pursue a personal injury claim against the other driver, and your insurance company, your health insurance company, pays out now for your medical bills, they would have what's called a right to subrogation. Okay, and that's a contractual right that you have, that your insurance company has, meaning if they pay out for injuries that are caused by a third party and you are able to recover, then they seek reimbursement for what they paid out. So, you have the financial, means to get the treatment that you need. If you didn't, for whatever reason, want to go through your health insurance, I know a lot of medical providers will set up what's called a lien, which means that you tell them that you were involved in an accident. You would give them the information on your attorney, and they would go ahead and treat you, and you'd incur charges, but they wouldn't then expect to be paid until your case is resolved. Okay,
and that, I got it.
And you have your attorney, contact the provider at the end of your case, and satisfy the lien for you. So between the liens and your health insurance, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to get the treatment that you need. But I would start with a follow up with your primary care physician. Make sure you give them a history of the motor vehicle accident. You get as much detailed information to them as you can regarding the onset of your pain and your symptoms, so that it's all well documented. Like I say, I'd be happy to talk to you more about it off the air, go through your treatment and try to steer you in the right direction. All right.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much, Jessica. Enjoy the day. So, typical situation. Somebody is involved in a car accident, and they go to the ER, and then we have a two-month gap in treatment, okay? And I can tell you insurance companies are chopping at the bit to deny similar type claims because they're going to say, well, 2 months is too long after the accident. If a person is in pain and they're really suffering, then they're not going to wait months after the accident to seek treatment. But, as we all know, we all have things going on in our lives, and it's not always the most convenient thing to do to go and get the treatment. And, therapy takes a lot of time, 2-3 times a week, doctor's appointments. So, I'm of the opinion 2 months is not an unreasonable period of time when you've gone to the emergency room and you've made initial complaints to the emergency doctor of pain. So hopefully we can help Jessica off the air, make sure she gets the treatment that she needs, and contact the other insurance company and let them know and put them on notice of a potential claim against them. So over the last week or so, I've gotten a number of emails and questions, kind of general questions from listeners. So I'm going to take a few minutes today and address some of those. As always, again, feel free to call in 815-254-7300. I'm happy to take any more of your questions or comments. But one question that keeps coming up is, what do I do if I'm contacted after an accident by an insurance company or an investigator? And this happens every time. You're involved in an accident, the insurance company is quick to get on the phone with you, and the first thing that they're going to want to do is take a recorded statement from you. And I can't stress it enough, the importance of not agreeing to give a recorded statement. The insurance adjuster is going to call and, try to be your friend. It's illegal for an insurance adjuster or a non-attorney to provide legal advice, but they often do it. And the advice that you're going to get from an insurance adjuster usually is not sound advice. You go ahead, you give a recorded statement to this adjuster, and guarantee they're gonna use that against you later on. So there's no reason to put yourself in that position. And that's always the first thing I tell clients. We can, with the help of an attorney, we can talk to the insurance company. We can let them know what happened. We can let them know about the injuries, but there is no reason to give a recorded statement. I wouldn't, if you're involved in an accident, I wouldn't talk about the facts of the accident or your injury with anybody until you've consulted with an attorney. You never know. You fill out an accident report. A lot of times the police station wants you to fill out a narrative as to what happened. And again, having the advice of an attorney and handling that is very beneficial. And I had a client come in the other day. I'm handling a workers' compensation case for him, and he was recently rear-ended on Route 30. He had his young son in the back, And the following week, the insurance company sent both him and his son a check for $250 with a release. So my client brought that in to me the other day, and we took it and we threw it in the garbage. And I told him, you know, obviously this is a tactic that the insurance companies use to try to strike while the iron is hot and try to get you to, you know, resolve the case prematurely. And you need to consult with an attorney. Don't be taken advantage of. The pain, the suffering, the inconvenience that both my client and his son have gone through, the value of that far exceeds the $250 that the insurance company is offering him off the bat. We have Sabrina on line two. Good afternoon, Sabrina.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm well.
I think you just answered my question, basically. I was in an auto accident, and I was carpooling, and we were on the expressway, and someone rear-ended us. And so I guess our stupidity, we all got an offer of a very basic check from the insurance company, and we didn't realize it, and we did sign it and took, and then after the fact down the road, you know, you get these aches and pains.
Right.
And then there's no recourse?
Yeah, that's right. You get the check from the insurance company, you sign the release, and essentially you're out of luck at that point.
Uh-huh.
It's an unfortunate situation. And, you know,
okay.
I'm sorry that it happened to you, Sabrina.
Well, thank God it was nothing horrible.
Right.
But
right.
Thank you for your time.
Sure, I appreciate you calling. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and discuss more questions from clients and other pertinent legal issues. Thanks.
Have you been hurt on the job? Has your doctor misdiagnosed or mistreated your medical condition? Meet attorney Greg Leiter. But before we go on, let's get two things straight. We've all heard the cheesy lawyer ads that say,
call us for a free consultation. We don't get paid until you win money.
The truth is, every injury lawyer gives a free consultation, and no attorney gets paid until you win money. So what should you look for in an attorney? Someone who wins your type of case. That attorney is Greg Leiter. Greg Leiter has years of experience with personal injury, medical malpractice, and workman's comp. He's won millions of dollars for his clients who've been hurt on the job and have helped them keep food on the table and provide for their families. Plus, his background as an insurance defense attorney gives him unique insight to help prove your case. Call Greg Leiter today. You'll meet with him, and he will personally handle your case. If you have a personal injury, workman's comp, or medical malpractice case, or know someone who does, call Greg Leiter today at 815-723-7600. That's 815-723-7600.
Covering your feet with socks to avoid the embarrassment of toenail fungus doesn't make it stop. It won't go away on its own, and in most cases, it will get worse. Dr. Vittori of Vittori Foot and Ankle Specialist has a revolutionary procedure that eliminates nail fungus. It's a new, natural, non-invasive treatment that's proven to be effective. No medications involved, no messy lotions or creams to smear all over your toes, and no painful surgical procedures or anesthetics of any kind. The all-natural procedure is performed at Dr. Vittori's office in a matter of minutes, and you'll walk away with no pain. It's safe, easy, doesn't cost a fortune, and most importantly, it works. So stop suffering with fungus problems when you could be done with it. For information, call Vittori Foot and Ankle Specialist at 708-301-4443. Find them on Facebook or go to footfunguschicago.com. That's footfunguschicago.com. Appointments are available in Homer Glen or their second location attached to Silver Cross Hospital in New Lenox.
Will County's News Talk Sports, 1340 WJOL.
Thanks for joining us again on this gorgeous, bright, and sunny Veterans Day. Before we took a break, Sabrina called and explained her situation where she was involved in a motor vehicle accident. The insurance company sent her a check, and her case was essentially resolved. And following the resolution of her case, she was developing pains that I think she didn't experience or know the extent of before she settled it. And that brings me to an issue. And, you know, I've handled a lot of personal injury cases and a lot of clients. And while we are handling the case or months after their accident, are asking when we're going to settle this. When can we get lined up to try to resolve the case? And, you know, it's my rule, and I think any quality personal injury attorney is going to handle it the same way. But, you know, I won't resolve a claim until we know the full extent of the client's injury, and we know that they've exhausted or at least considered all the treatment options available to them. You know, once you settle your case, there's no going back. So if you settle something and you develop pain and you need more treatment in the future, there's no way then to recover for that. I think it's important to understand, you know, clients the full extent of their injury, including any medical treatment that they may need in the future. And generally when a client tells me that they're done treating to go ahead and settle the case, I'll tell them that, you know, I'm going to start ordering your medical records and your bills and we'll take a look at it. But why don't we talk in a few weeks to make sure that you're still pain-free and that it's not necessary for you to return to the doctor. You don't want to have the issue again where you settle a case and you're not accounting for the possibility of treatment that's necessary in the future. And speaking of the resolution of cases, and I often get the question from prospective clients asking me what their case is worth. And you know, they'll call from the beginning. They'll say, I was involved in an accident a few weeks ago. I went to the hospital. I'm treating right now with an orthopedic doctor, a therapist. How much is my case worth? And I can only tell you to be wary of anyone, any attorney who tries to tell you what the value of your claim is. Okay. Again, every case is unique and you can't put any merit behind, you know, speculation by an attorney or you know, a number that he throws out or a range without that attorney fully investigating the facts of your incident, in terms of the liability, whether or not it's disputed, and your medical condition and the injuries that you've sustained and whether or not those injuries have stabilized. You know, I sit down with a client. I would never tell them that their case is worth, you know, X amount because A, they're going to hold you to it at the end. And B, what do I have to base that off of when I don't have the medical records in front of me and I don't know the full extent of the treatment? When the time comes for your case to be ripe for settlement, whether that's pre-suit, or during the course of a lawsuit, you know, there's enough number of elements of damages that you're going to be entitled to and that need to be considered by your attorney. Obviously, payment of your medical bills, those need to be taken care of. You don't want to resolve your case and then have to take your settlement money and write monthly checks to your medical providers, okay? So one way or another, we make sure that your medical bills are taken care of and that they're all accounted for. In addition, when you're resolving your case, you should be compensated for your pain and suffering. And that's a hard one. How do you put a dollar amount on what the pain and suffering is worth? I can tell you insurance companies try to, and they use computer software, and they have systems in place where they run numbers and run formulas, and they give you a range of what they believe it's worth. And they, you know, they stick with that, but you need to make sure that you're adequately compensated for your pain and suffering, as well as mental anguish. You know, a lot of clients call and say that they're emotionally distraught or shaken up. So you know, we try to account for that as well. You know, it's hard when a client calls and they say, you know, I've been psychologically injured or damaged as a result of an accident. You know, that's a tough avenue to go down, but you know, it is compensable. But usually, when you're making a claim for mental anguish or psychological injury, you will need to have seen a psychologist or some kind of mental health care provider. An attorney can't just make a blanket statement that you've been psychologically or mentally injured. In order to recover for that, you need to seek the relevant mental care for that. And, you know, a lot of clients don't want to go that route, understandably so, because it opens up a whole can of worms. You can say that, I've been psychologically injured or damaged as a result of this accident, and I want to be compensated for it. And now you have an insurance company that is going to dig in and investigate and find out what else in your life could have caused or contributed to mental or psychological injury. And, you know, that's a whole can of worms that, you know, a lot of people don't want to open up unless they really need to. But, again, in evaluating a case, we look at some of these elements of damages. We look at the loss of ability to enjoy life. If you have a permanent injury and your life is going to be altered because of it, the activities that you participate in or undertake, that's, again, an element that should be considered and you should be compensated for, as well as your wage loss. If you've missed work as a result of an accident, or you're going to be missing work in the future because of some treatment surgery that you need, then we need to make sure that your wage loss is accounted for. We have Gabby on line two. How you doing, Gabby?
Hi. So I had a question. My son was attacked at a bar on Friday night. He's been in the hospital ever since. They don't know who the guy was. Okay. I just don't know what to do. I know that he doesn't have insurance. He's going to have a ton of medical bills.
Okay. All right. You know, first off, Gabby, and I think this is probably something that we should get into a bit more detail on off the air. Please, you know, in a few minutes, if you want to give me a call at 815-723-7600, I'm going to sit down and talk to you more about it.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm going to try to address this in the brief time that we have. You know, if your son was attacked at the bar, you know, there's a number of circumstances that come into play. You know, at a bar, you know, obviously you're going to immediately think that alcohol was involved, right?
Yeah, they obviously were both drinking.
Okay. So, you know, this is a situation where maybe we'd look at a dram shop situation and we'd look into the bar and see what the bar served the attackers. And if they overserved them and there's some credible evidence to that, then I think we may have a cause of action against the bar. In addition to that, we take a look at the police report and what kind of investigation was done into the matter and, you know, do our best to try to bring the assailants to justice. I can tell you I've had numerous occasions in the past where I've gone after, assailants, people that, that attack others and, you know, they don't have insurance. A lot of times they don't have any assets, any property. But we contact them and, we bring them in. If we need to bring them into court, we do. And
does it matter that my son was drinking too, though? Does it matter that?
It depends. It depends. If, you know, if your son was an aggressor, in the incident, then, that may come into play. But, you know, obviously, right, it's expected that if you're at a bar or at a tavern, you're going to consume some alcohol, but, if your son was drinking responsibly and the bar overserved, his attackers, then I think we need to look into not only again going after the bar, but, finding out who these guys were that attacked them and, again, bringing them in, getting them into court if we need to. And, you know, I've had a number of situations like this in the past where these guys come in and they don't want to go to court, and then they'll enter into a payment agreement with us. And
okay.
Every month, and I'll let you go, Gabby. Thanks for calling. But every month they'll make payment to the office, and we pay the client directly, and sometimes that goes on for years. But you know what? That's satisfying to the client knowing that the people that caused this and that were the aggressors in it are going to be compensating for it. So we are running out of time. I appreciate y'all for tuning in this afternoon. www.gleiterlaw.com, 815-723-7600. Have a wonderful Veterans Day and a terrific and safe week. Thanks.